You may have heard reports in the past couple of years that doctors now say that children exposed to crack cocaine in the womb has not produced a generation of severely damaged children as many thought it would in the 1980s. The so-called crack baby epidemic, it seems, has not come to pass. Today, public health experts have compiled the most comprehensive data to date. Dr. Susan Oakey, a national correspondent for the New England Journal of Medicine, has been following the developments, and she has a story in today's New York Times science section. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
People may have heard it before, but the information is still surprising. Remind us, what were some of the concerns and what were the early predictions of this crack baby epidemic?
Well, during the 1980s and 90s, when we had a national epidemic of crack use, there were predictions that it would produce a generation of damaged children, that there would be mental retardation, severe learning disabilities, behavior problems, and so on. And there were headlines at the time that said things like future bleak for crack babies and crack's toll among babies a joyless view. It was really predicted that there would be a whole generation of children who'd be permanently damaged.
And that hasn't come to pass, Dr. Susan. You profile Yvette H., her family, in your story, and they certainly represent the complexity, she and her three children. Can you tell us about them?
Yes, Yvette actually has four children, and during her second and third pregnancies, she was using alcohol and heroin and cocaine, which was a common profile in many of the families that have been studied. Very, very frequently, the mothers weren't just using cocaine, they were using other substances as well. She had two daughters from those two pregnancies who are now 14 and 9, and they're doing very well. I should say that Yvette went into recovery. She lost custody of her children after those first three were born, and she was treated for drug abuse and recovered from her addictions and eventually recovered her custody of her children. And the two girls who were exposed to cocaine and these other substances during her pregnancies are 14 and 9, and they're doing fine, doing well in school, studying and performing well and happy and well-adjusted. Ironically, her oldest child, a boy, has autism, but he was not exposed to any substances during pregnancy. And her fourth child, who was born after she was recovered from her addictions, is doing well as also.
What's the growing consensus today about the effect of exposure to crack cocaine?
Well, there are a number of longitudinal studies that have followed these children, and the biggest one, the maternal lifestyle study, has more than 1,000 children in it. They've followed them through childhood, and the oldest in that study are 14 years old now. And that study in particular was formed with federal funding because of the concern about damage to these children. But the consensus from the studies has been that there are not the kinds of damage to the degree that had been feared. And the researchers that I spoke to say that the effects of cocaine in pregnancy are comparable, similar to those of tobacco use during pregnancy, and not as bad as alcohol use during pregnancy.
And, Doctor, there are serious political questions. You've just alluded to one. Given the fact that scientists and doctors seem convinced that exposure to alcohol and tobacco in the womb is far more dangerous than crack, yet women who use crack while they're pregnant, have their children taken away, or even sent to prison. Why are they treated so differently?
Well, because it's an illegal drug, and so society has treated this as a moral problem, not as a public health problem. That's very much the message I got from the researchers that I spoke with. Yes, pregnant women should not use any of those drugs, alcohol, tobacco, or cocaine, but they're are many dozens of women who were sent to jail for cocaine use during pregnancy under laws in various states that equated that with child abuse.
And certainly there are questions about race, poverty, poor parenting.
That's right. Most of the children in these studies do come from poor families, and it's been difficult, challenging for researchers to tease apart the effects of cocaine from the other influences that were happening during the pregnancies. The children were, as I said, exposed to other substances, but also simply coming from poor families, unstable homes, not necessarily getting good prenatal care, medical care, oftentimes exposure to violence, sometimes high lead levels in the environment. These are all things that can impact child development. So as you can imagine, it takes a lot of statistical analysis to try to figure out what specifically the cocaine exposure might have done as opposed to all these other things that can have an impact.
And that's really the importance of having followed some of these children over 14 years and continuing to follow them into young adulthood and adulthood, right?
Right. There are concerns that the researchers have wanting to follow them on through adolescence and early adulthood because that's the period when risk-taking behavior and substance use happens in late teens and young adulthood, and the researchers are interested in whether drug exposure before birth has any impact on later drug use. And also, I think one of the messages of these studies is that the children, although the children are impacted by a variety of factors that happen to them maybe before birth and after, but how they do individually depends very much on resources that are available to them, that whether their home life becomes stable, whether their parents are involved. And you see that with Yvette and her children because she's very involved in their education and the children have by and large done well.
Dr. Susan Oakey, thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you.
Dr. Susan Oakey is a national correspondent for the New England Journal of Medicine, and she's also the writer of an article in today's New York Times Science sections called Crack Babies, an Epidemic That Didn't Happen.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.